You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast,
featuring Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharps.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Now, Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Welcome back to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. This is a co-host here, Jeff Clark. Of course, I got my homie, handicapping hype man, gambling consigliere, and the managing editor of Sportsbook Wire on the line with me, Eston McLaren. Eston, what's up, brother?
Jeff, thank you. What's up today? The NFC North, NFC East, and yeah, what's up is probably an overstatement because looking at the board here, I see a lot of stuff going down.
Yeah, I'm actually like really looking forward to this show. I've been stewing the past like week, you know, after the first week of preseason football, and I've been looking to get back on the horn with you and chop it up about this stuff. I honestly think I could spend like maybe 5 to 10 minutes on each one of these divisions reviewing them, and then the next like 45 minutes at the window. I don't know. I brought a whole bunch of money with me to this episode, let me tell you that. this is gonna be venomous. I have a lot of bad to say about the NFC East. I did so yesterday in a write-up, predicting the NFC East champion and just talking about the division. And like you said, we're also going to talk about the NFC North, and there's no shortage of shit to hurl on that and those teams' direction either. I mean, it's going to be an interesting one. And before we like jump into it, I just got to get this off my chest to all the listeners out there. I understand last year, there was no preseason football because of the pandemic, and it was really hard to get access, and I don't even think you could go to practices, right? So people are just like overexcited, amped up on football, and are talking so far out of their ass. It's absurd. I can't believe the amount of coverage for Tim Tebow, who was looking at the fifth tight end in the Jacksonville Jaguars depth chart. That's the last time I mentioned his name in this podcast. Trey Lance and Justin Fields are, I think they're going to Canton. I think they're going to get a gold jacket right now. It's absurd. It's crazy. And if I don't make money this NFL season, this podcast will not come back next year. And I'll probably enter the witness protection program. I can't wait to get into this market. I cannot wait.
It's a great idea. And yeah, you nailed it on the head with Trey Lance and Justin Fields. Like, it's a good thing Peyton Manning got in when he did. He just snuck in under the wire there because those two were going to fly by him. He would have been bumped. He'd be sitting around waiting for a decade. Like, whoo, he lucked out. I feel bad for Tom Brady if he ever does retire, because he's going to be stuck waiting for a while for Trey Lance and Justin Fields to get in. I was on Twitter Saturday, that game was, I guess, and loosely monitoring Twitter, not watching the game because it's a preseason game. And then like went to write a piece on Monday thinking like, oh, wow, got to center this piece around Trey Lance. He had such a good game. Looked at the game log. He had an awful game. He had one good throw. And yeah, everyone's saying he's the steal of the draft at third overall. Let's move on. Yeah. you nailed it. One year without preseason football, you know, that everyone had an extra year of these fiery first take hot takes ready to go. And boy, are they using them up out of the get go.
Yeah. It's like,
good thing there's only 3 weeks.
It's like the NFL writers or media are trying to like raise each other on stupid shit said. Like the Trey Lance is wonderful. 5 of 15, 130 yards, touchdown. You take out that 180 yard touchdown bomb. Quick math, was that 4 of 14, 50 yards? I mean, can't we all just agree that there's really nothing to be pulled from preseason? Like what? I get you. You like Trey Lance. You like Justin Fields. You thought they should have been drafted higher. but you're using the preseason to prove that? Like, I just can't wait. I cannot wait to gamble this year. I can't wait to do it. Let's do it. Come on.
And also, it was one play. It was a fantastic play. But it was to a guy he very well may likely never throw the ball to again, yeah. Right? Like, I don't remember the name of that receiver. I may never hear it again.
Yeah, and he was throwing against players that probably won't be on the field this year either. So,
right.
I don't know. Playing against third and fourth stringers, we've spent way too much time talking about preseason. Unfortunately, I'm not really handicapping preseason because it's just a crapshoot. But there are some fantastic handicaps on our website, sportsbookwire.com. So be sure to check that out. And obviously we're going to be, covering all the off season or, season futures, player props and all that stuff. So if you want more NFL coverage than this podcast is providing, be sure to check us, go to our website, sportsbookwire.com. But let's start off with the, NFC East, where the defending division champion is the Washington Football Team. But we're going to start off like we did last week, going in order of worst odds to best odds to win the division. So we're going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles to start off our NFC East preview here. The Philadelphia Eagles are +7,000 to win the Super Bowl. They're +3,000 to win the NFC, +450 to win the NFC East to make the playoffs. Their yes is +280. Their no is -370. The over-under win total is 6.5. With the... Oh, man. I don't know where the juice is. I don't know if you have it on the top of your, off the top of your head.
Yeah, -150 on the over, +125 on the under.
So I'm pretty sure the Giants are the same pricing across the board, and I thought I just, like, copied and pasted the Giants there mistakenly. But all right, so fair enough. Starting with the Eagles... this I already bet them. I already bet the under on the 7 at -130. I'm not gonna chase it at 6.5 +125, but that's a side that I lean. For the obvious stuff, I'm pretty sure Jalen Hurts was 37th in completion over expectation, which was a little bit better than Carson Wentz, but there's 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL and he didn't break the top 32, so that's scary. They have a new head coach replacing Doug Peterson, Nick Sirianni, who was the offensive coordinator and for the Indianapolis Colts last year. But he was pretty much just like a figurehead or like a statue there. He didn't call any of the plays. This is going to be his first time as a play caller. I think he's the play caller. Maybe he's given those duties to his offensive coordinator and he's just going to be like the CEO thing. So there's really no like way to identify what Sirianni's blueprint's going to be. Jalen Hurts is a guy that I was low on last year. He had a couple flashes, but didn't grade out very impressively. They don't have sick offensive weapons. Their offensive line is usually banged up. It's really good if it's healthy. Who knows if it's going to stay healthy, though, this year. It's always a problem with them. The Eagles do have a pretty soft schedule. I guess that's the pro Eagles argument or the pro over argument for the Eagles. I don't think they're going to be good because of the quarterback, honestly. So that's kind of where I'm at. The price points for like the markets to like short them, which would be the under 6.5 +125. I definitely don't hate that one, but the no -370 to make the playoffs is. I'm not going to lay that much in a future. Definitely not going to bet them to win the division, NFC, or the Super Bowl. So that's where we're at. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm hitting the +125 for 6 or fewer wins for sure. I would have leaned fewer than – or 6 or fewer wins, but the plus money on that side makes that too good to pass up. You're right. The offensive line, the two biggest names, the two best players on that offensive line that everyone knows, Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce – big part of that Super Bowl run, obviously. But they've been two of the guys who've dealt with injuries the last few years. And, they're getting up there. Like Lane Johnson's coming into his 8th, 9th year in the league. Jason Kelce, 10-plus years. Like, come on. Wide receivers, Devontae Smith going to be enough to turn that group around on his own? Because Jalen Reagor absolutely sucked as a rookie last year. So we're going to count on the Philadelphia Eagles first round wide receiver selection this year to be that much better to improve an overall unit all on his own? I don't think so. I'm higher on Jalen Hurts than you, I guess, and probably most people. Similar boat as Tua Tagovailoa for me. That, and I think people are writing him off too quickly. I think he deserves at least a chance to prove that he's truly bad. He didn't really prove that last year. Scored the rushing touchdowns, probably got too much attention and boosted up his overall numbers. I'm going to give him a chance, but the rest of the group, I don't see it at all. The offensive line, I don't like. The wide receiver group is awful. Miles Sanders is fine, but is Nick Sirianni going to finally be the coach to give him the ball? Because, you know, Doug Peterson, for whatever reason, could not commit to Miles Sanders. Is that a Miles Sanders issue, or is that exclusively a Doug Peterson issue that's gone? Or are we going to see way too much of Jordan Howard and Boston Scott once again this year?
Did they bring Jordan Howard back?
He's on the depth chart right now.
Oh, wow. I don't hate Boston Scott. What was it? Miles Sanders, right? That's his first name. I guess his limited usage is kind of based on Doug Peterson being terrible. Just the whole offense being kind of a nightmare. And he's kind of like a boom or bust running back in terms of like a little bit of like Saquon Barkley, where he'll run at the offensive line, be stuck for like a yard or 0 yards, like 17 of his 18 carries, and then just drill an 80 yarder here or there. So that's like the, I guess, the answer for any of his numbers. But it feels like the Nick Sirianni hire is like them chasing their tail or trying to recapture lightning in a bottle with Frank Reich. It's like, you know, like those are the good old days when we had Frank Reich. He was under Frank Reich. Let's just do it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of the front office still has their job and they're just kind of like, you know, pitching around the same ideas.
So they're essentially hoping that the guy they brought in learned enough in a year from the guy they let go. They should have just replaced Doug Peterson and Frank Reich. I don't see this team with a first year head coach, a first year starting quarterback, and one wide receiver doing enough, even in this division. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. They go 4-2 in the division. I don't see where three other wins come from. Six or fewer wins for the Eagles, plus 125. Lock that in for me.
Cool. Just to speak more to that as well, and you're going to hear me say this a number of times, so I'm just going to get it out there now. They are projected to win 6.5 games, and they're favored in 2. So it's like Vegas disagreeing with itself.
Hey, the Super Bowl team got by on upsets, right? So why can't the 21 team be the same?
Fair enough. All right, let's get over to the New York Giants here, who are priced around the same as the Philadelphia Eagles, plus 7,000 win the Super Bowl, plus 3,000 win the NFC, plus 400 to win the NFC East. So a little bit worse or better odds, depending how you look at it, to win the division. To make the playoffs, the yes is plus 230. The no is minus 290. Giants win total is 6.5 with the over at minus 150 and the under at plus 125, same as the Eagles. I'm a Giants fan, Homer, so got to out myself there. What do you think of the Giants this year?
Maybe I've been reading a little too much of you, but I think they are the pick in this division, at least betting purely based off of value. No, there's no reason to favor any one team in this division over the others based off of what we saw last year. And New York's probably the most consistent team from last year into this one. To go over 6.5 wins, you're counting on Daniel Jones to be a little bit better than he was last year. You can probably do that. I mean, the receiving group is good. If not, it's not great, but it's good. Saquon Barkley's back. I mean, even if he's not going to be what he was as a rookie, let's write that off right away. But he's probably going to be better than Wayne Gallman and Devontae Freeman and whoever else they had taking snaps in the backfield last year. I don't think that's a big ask from him, even if he does miss week one, week two. I think the offensive line still definitely a weakness. Defense, played well last year. You called that last year going in. I argued with you on and off about that, but surprised me, impressed me, and stayed intact. And I think this team as the most stable, consistent team in this division, plus 400 to win the NFC East, is definitely a bet anyone can make.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to sprinkle on the plus 400. But again, I am a homer, so I'm not going to hit it as heavy as I want. But there's talent on all sides, or all levels of the defense. They're doing the best for Daniel Jones. I mean, as a Giants fan, candidly, I can't stand Daniel Jones. He sucked the past 2 years. I mean, I can easily come around on that. I hope that I do. He's shown some glimpses of, I mean, being able to throw the ball in a tight windows. He's an elite athlete, supposedly is a grinder and really works his tail off. So, you know, the opportunity's there. Kenny Galladay, if he can stay healthy, is a legit number one weapon. An analogy that I heard is kind of like when the Giants brought in Plaxico Burress for Eli Manning. It just brought him a wide receiver that can catch the ball down the field. It's going to open everything up in the middle. Sterling Shepard stays healthy. He's an awesome slot receiver. They took a flyer on Kadarius Toney. Or not a flyer. They drafted Kadarius Toney in the first round. Everyone hated that pick, but what do they know? And really, who cares? He's like a third. He's a slot wide receiver or a second wide receiver for them, if that. So Evan Engram probably can't play any worse than he did last year. He led one of the leaders in drops. But he has all the talent in the world. And the Giants are well coached. Everyone, they were 9-7 against the spread last year. The best in the division, one of the best in the league. They fought hard, and despite all of like the crazy preseason reports and practice reports, you know, especially like offensive linemen retiring hand over fist or just like in waves, supposedly the players really like playing for him. And like, I think we talked about this in an early podcast, but I think the best thing a coach can do really in professional sports is just get his team to buy in and like him. So according to people that are plugged into the Giants situation, that's what's going on here. I think they have the most upside on both sides of the ball, and they have the best chance to be balanced. And I really like how the defense is built. I would like them either way. It's not even like a homer pick. James Bradbury is a legit shutdown cornerback. I really like how they go three deep, even really four deep at safety with Logan Ryan, Jabril Peppers, and Xavier McKinney, who they stole in the second round. He was the first safety off the board from Alabama. He was a little banged up last year, but looked good when he was out there. Just a deep secondary. So I like how the defense is built. It's built for the modern era. And you nailed it. It's just like, we're going to talk about the Cowboys in a few minutes. We just trashed the Eagles. I'm going to trash Washington. You could trash the Giants if you want, but I mean 4-1, someone's got to win the division. So I would put my money on the Giants. Truthfully, I'm not going to go to the window with that one, but I do believe that they have the most upside in the division. So that's where I'm at now. I don't know if you have any final thoughts, or should we just move on to the Washington football team?
Well, yeah, just quickly, like 6.5 win line, like 6 wins last year. You're at an extra game this year to fall short of 6.5. Like, you're really counting on Daniel Jones going into his third year and not taking any strides forward. Like, yes, he has been bad through two years. Like, let's not completely write him off. Similar line to Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa. Like, everyone writing these young guys off. Daniel Jones also still young. And this is the best supporting cast he's had in his career so far. Yes, offensive line is still an issue, but good receiving group. Yeah, and like, let's do the quick math here. You can bet on 3 of these teams, fade the Cowboys and make money. So, Giants at plus 400 is purely numbers value based is the best bet. I certainly wouldn't go, NFC or Super Bowl by any means, but you know, over 6.5 wins, yes, minus 150 to make the playoffs, yes, plus 230. I'd probably ignore the make the playoffs one and just bet the plus 400 for the division, because if they don't win the division, they're probably not getting in via wild card. So the plus 400 and the over 6.5 is the bet for me.
Yeah, it would be a sad state of affairs if two NFC East teams made the playoffs.
Yeah.
But let's go over to the defending NFC East champions, the Washington football team, who have the second best odds here on the board to win the division. Their division price is plus 240. For the football team to win the Super Bowl, it's plus 5,000. To win the conference, plus 2,000. Yes, to make the playoffs is plus 140. No is minus 170. Their team win total is over 8.5. With the over juice to minus 115, the under at minus 105. I actually really like them to not make the playoffs, but the price point kind of got away from me, and I'm not willing to lay so much vig with the no. But I don't see them going back to the playoffs. Like you said, and that I just agreed with you, the most likely, there's probably only going to be one NFC East playoff team. That'll be the division winner. No team has won back-to-back division titles, which is what Washington's trying to do since 2001 to 2004 at the Philadelphia Eagles and Andy Reid and Don McNabb days. And Washington has a lot of regression metrics associated to them. And like, to kind of turn this conversation fun, and this is what we're talking about just like the crazy shit that's being talked in the offseason. Somehow Ryan Fitzpatrick became like a franchise quarterback. I don't get it. So let me pull out my phone here. Let's go through the league real quick. And we're going to list off the quarterbacks that we would take ahead of Ryan Fitzpatrick to start the season. So we'll go Dak Prescott, 1, Kyler Murray, 2, cut me off if you disagree with these guys, Russell Wilson, 3, Aaron Rodgers, 4, Kirk Cousins, 5, Tom Brady, 6, Matt Ryan, 7. So there's already 7 quarterbacks. There's 7 NFC teams, 7 quarterbacks in the NFC that I would take over Ryan Fitzpatrick. Do you disagree with any of them?
No, I'll give you all those. Kirk Cousins, yeah, I'm higher on Kirk Cousins than most. That's where some people may have an issue. I'm giving Kirk the edge over Fitz here.
If any of them have the issue, please DM me and you can come on this podcast. We can argue. I would love to hear. I would love to hear what metrics you have or what numbers you have to prove that one. Honestly, I mean, the first metric that I go to would be Kirk Cousins has played for 2 teams and Ryan Fitzpatrick has played for 10. That would be the first one that I go to. And the 2 names that I left off in the NFC alone, and we'll just get to the AFC for shits and giggles here in a second. The 2 names that I left off were Jimmy Garoppolo and Jared Goff, both of which have been to the Super Bowl. So whatever. Hey, not a big deal right though. We'll leave them off because there's there's names in the AFC just to button up this little take here, this little conversation. We got Josh Allen. So what's that, 8? Josh Allen, Derek Carr, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Ryan Tannehill, and that would be 15 quarterbacks at this point, right? So that makes him average, right? And again, we're not counting Jimmy Garoppolo. We're not counting Jared Goff. I didn't say Big Ben. Come on, right? Can we throw Big Ben in there?
I think we can.
I mean, I hope, right? I would make the argument that Carson Wentz is better than him. I mean, Carson Wentz. Yeah, I hear you. It sucks when we don't have to go back and forth on it because we are got a limited time. I think I made my point, right? I think I made the point. The guy's 27 games below 500. He's never guided a team to the playoffs. He's had 2 winning seasons as a starter. One was last year where they only started him for 7 games. And he was 4-3. So he gave them enough of a reason to move on to the rookie. Okay. So I'll talk about it more at the window because, you know, I need more to talk about when I give my pick. But I'm definitely fading the Washington football team here.
I don't mind them. I mean, I have no issue betting Giants and Washington to win this division. Those are, you know, to me, the coin flips between them. You have to fade the Cowboys at plus 110 as the favorites here. And, you know, the Eagles stink. So a bet on Washington, a bet on the Giants. You come out plus money. I don't hate Fitz. I like him. Maybe it's just because he's so fun.
he loves cake.
Right. He's a likable guy. I want to cheer for a guy like him. No, maybe that's foolish. It is foolish, sure. But no, you mentioned a bad record. He's on the up, right? He's old, yes, sure. But he's playing his best career. He's been on his best teams. He was better than Jameis Winston in Tampa. And he was playing well in Miami last year before the switch. Yeah, so-so record. But that was probably the best defense he's played for in his career. And then I think Washington's is better than Miami's of last year.
Oh,
Look, I like this Washington defense. And, they won the division last year with Tyler Henneke, Kyle Allen, and the ghost of Alex Smith playing the games, right? He added Curtis Samuel, whatever about Curtis Samuel, but Terry McLaurin's a legitimate number one receiver. Logan Thomas is a top tier tight end. And Antonio Gibson is a fantastic running back. I love Antonio Gibson. I think he has the pieces there to just be better than Tyler Henneke, or Taylor Henneke, excuse me. But
whatever. No, actually, that's mean.
I don't mind them. The offensive line is good. The receiving group, not deep, but again, Terry McLaurin's fantastic, and the running game is good. J.D. McKissic can still catch passes. Peyton Barber can fill in a game or two if he needs to. And Antonio Gibson's awesome. And then defense is very, very strong. So, Fitz is going to lose you one or two games, but, he's got 8 games to lose in the NFC East and still win the division. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah. And just to remind you, we mentioned earlier, and what I, the first sentence of my write up about the NFC East yesterday, this division's a goddamn joke. It's a dumpster fire. So all of our statements, all of our handicaps are couched under this is just the most winnable and the most awful division. My last thing on Washington, I hear you, but I've gotten a few emails from offshore sports books just saying the most action they've taken in off-season futures has been Washington, which is just okay. So the public is on Ryan Fitzpatrick's season futures. All right. But you make good points. And to kind of shoot you some bail or to agree with you on one thing, I think Chase Young is going to win Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, whenever Aaron Donald regresses a little, whenever that happens, or maybe he just wins it outright, that guy's special. He's special. The defensive line's special. I like Ron Rivera. I like Terry McLaurin. Gibson, right? Good. Logan Thomas, who was probably the worst NFL or college quarterback I'd ever seen, is sick at tight end. So I hear you. I'm going to talk more about him at the window, but let's go over to the Dallas Cowboys, who are the favorites to win the division at plus 110. To win the Super Bowl, they're plus 3,000. Good old Cowboy tax. To win the NFC, it's plus 1,300. The Cowboys are. To make the playoffs, yes is minus 140. The no is plus 115. You'll be hearing from me and going to the window at that one. And then the win totals, 9.5 with the over at plus 105 and the under juice to minus 130. If you are holding a Dallas Cowboys to win the division ticket at plus 110, can you please raise your hand? I want to talk to these people. We rarely have guests. I want to find one Dallas writer or fan who's backing them at plus 110 because at the very bare minimum, they don't understand really gambling. I mean, this is just an awful price point. Just a goddamn joke of a price point. And I am going to take one of their futures to the window with me and talk about it. And I have such a little to say, really. It's just kind of like a couple quick points and we're out. But I'm fading this team. They were 1-3 last year before Dak got injured. When did Mike McCarthy become good? Everyone hated him. And, they're running it back with him because he's I think a yes man for Jerry Jones. Maybe they want continuity, which I don't hate. But their defense is crap. I don't know. They there's like a Cowboys Dallas tax here, and it just makes it profitable. I'm gonna say this again: it makes it profitable to fade Dallas. I don't know. I can never bet them at any of these numbers, and I'm not high on them anyway. So, whatever.
No, you're spot on. The best part of the piece you wrote for SportsbookWire.com, your NFC East preview, is that Dak Prescott was on an MVP pace last year, and it did not matter, right? Like, everyone thinking, oh, he's going to be back for a full year this year. Yeah, sure, maybe. Don't really care, though, right? Like, right. And now he, early in training camp, had a shoulder issue, and that's not uncommon for guys who had year off of playing football because of an injury. Other body parts are a little bit rusty and can get hurt more easily. Yeah, and continuity under a head coach is fine, sure, unless that's bad continuity. It's the same as practice makes perfect. Yeah, unless you're practicing the wrong things, right? Like, you know, their decision to draft CeeDee Lamb in the first round two drafts ago, I think that's going to haunt them for years because they did not need him. They needed defense, and they took Micah Parsons high this year. And that's going to be a big addition, a huge addition in the middle of the defense that they sorely need. He's looked good in training camp and week one of preseason, as much as that doesn't matter. But he has looked good. Leighton Van Der Esch, you know, maybe he gets back to what he was. But that defense still sucks. Mike McCarthy still sucks. And, you know, can you be more confident in Dak coming back than you can in Saquon Barkley? Yeah, quarterback versus running back, more important position off the get-go, but it's also more important for them to stay healthy. I don't think Dak staying healthy for a full 16 games is guaranteed. And Garrett Gilbert and Ben DiNucci prove they can't step up when called upon. So, yeah, you're right that they're favored because of who they are. They shouldn't be. That's why you got to fade them. It's between the Giants and football team to me. Plus money on no to the Cowboys to make the playoffs. That's a strong bet for me when I'm walking in and taking to the window.
I went about this the wrong way. I spent a good part of yesterday trashing them. I'm going to trash them later, but I probably should be like looking at ways to make their over argument, right? Because of course, like, they could go over, right? It's not like football is so random. There's always, you know, five teams in, five teams out with the playoff stuff. So we're going to be surprised, right? I am going to put my foot in my mouth on a bunch of teams here, probably. I mean, hopefully nothing that I go to the window with. And again, that will be the Cowboys, but you know, I guess you could say, you know, they do have an elite quarterback. I believe Dak Prescott's elite. But to your point, like, he got an MRI in his shoulder. And then Dallas insisted it's not a big deal. And then he got a second MRI in the shoulder. Sounds like a deal. I don't know. That doesn't sound good. And he's coming off of a compound fracture ankle. So it's like, you got a leg issue, you got an arm issue, and you haven't even taken hits yet, dude. Like, I don't know, whatever. It's so tough to build the argument for the over and that they exceed expectations. Really, all that you got is Dak Prescott's back and they have a soft schedule. And both could be wins. Like, that could help them win or go over. Fair enough.
The argument is Dak Prescott comes back and does for 17 games what he did for 4.5 games last year, and the defense stops allowing 30 points a game. Right? That's the argument.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see either one of those being guaranteed. Right? And mentioned Dak's re-injury. Did you see that tweet from the Cowboys official account?
No.
Line one, nothing to be concerned about. Line two, not a setback. Line three, Dax headed for an MRI.
Jeez.
Yes, that's a concern. Your quarterback who just missed almost a full 2/3 of the season and caused your team to be extra garbage is now questionably maybe hurt again. Like, yeah, there's concerns in Dallas, and those concerns should be enough to make them not be +110 favorites to win this division. Pass on the Cowboys. Giants or Washington?
Yeah, they were 23rd last year in defensive DVOA, and they played the second easiest schedule of offenses. So, I don't mean but they do play another easy schedule of offenses. If Micah Parsons, who hasn't played since 2019, is an all-world linebacker, oh, that'll help. But they have a whole bunch of questions in their secondary still. I'm not in love with their defensive line, even though Lawrence is an animal. But I don't know. I'm going to talk about him again to go in the window. If you have anything else, or if you don't have anything else, let's go to the NFC North. What do you think?
A division that matters. Let's do it.
It could matter. Yeah. I mean, the Packers are in the conversation for being an actual contender. Definitely in the NFC. Their Super Bowl odds. Oh, what? No, we're not starting with the Packers. We're starting from worst to first. That's how we go in this order and Bet Slipping Podcast. Sorry about that. So we'll save that for later. And we'll talk about the Detroit Lions, who are plus 10,000 to win the Super Bowl, plus 6,000 to win the NFC. Plus, what is their division price? I do not have it accurate.
Plus 2,000.
Do you have?
You may have had it and just got confused that it was a NFC future bet because the number is so high to win a four-team division.
I'm going to actually need your help on all the division prices. I realize I have written down wrong, but the Lions to make the playoffs, yes, is plus 650. No's minus 1205. I don't like why even do the 05? Whatever. I'm not gonna hack over this price. The win total is over 5.5 plus 150 is the on the over. The under is minus 180, which kind of prices me out. You know, I'm not crazy about betting unders or the smallest under in a division. So I'm gonna kind of pass on the lines. I like Dan Campbell. I feel really strongly about the week one game or pending injuries and all that other stuff that they have against the San Francisco 49ers. But I can't in good conscience like put any money on this team's futures. It's just like, and I know I have a feeling you're going to come down on them, which I get. And they could very well be terrible. It could be a tank year, but reportedly the GM used to work for the Rams, high on Goff. Everyone likes Dan Campbell, of course. And it's just, you know, it is easy to crap on them. And it's usually the bets that you don't really want to make that win. And the easy ones are the ones that you end up sweating. And I don't know, like the Detroit's terribleness is priced into these lines. So I'm not crazy about betting against them. But you know, they moved on from Matt Stafford, who was, you know, obviously their longtime starting quarterback. He went to the Rams for Jared Goff, a guy who I'm not high on. We had to put him as honorable mention versus Ryan Fitzpatrick. He probably is better than Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't know. I'm not even here to defend that, but a lot of weaknesses on this team. And it really just matters, like if there was talent in the first place. And they just hated Matt Patricia so much that they underperformed. And maybe Dan Campbell gets a lot out of whatever is left over. And that's all the good stuff that I could say. I don't know. What I feel. Are you going to zag?
No. No, I would lean over 5.5 wins. Ooh. Just because it strikes me as a team that's – this will be the team that's not as bad as everyone thinks is going to be. But the minus 180 makes it a no bet. But I'm not interested in five or fewer wins and then want no part of to make the playoffs or any of the winner odds. Yeah, I want to give Jared Goff more credit than he's getting. Like, everyone loves to dunk on this guy. Why? Like, he's fine. No. Yeah, he's not Matt Stafford, I guess, but that's going to be a bigger upgrade for the Rams than it's going to be a detraction for the Lions, right? Like, as bad as that offensive line has been, Jared Goff can't be a whole lot worse than, underperforming Matt Stafford was. Except, why bring him in and give him Tyrell Williams, Rashad Perriman, Khalif Raymond, and Quintez Cephas? Didn't even use a draft pick on a wide receiver until Amon-Ra St. Brown in the fourth round. TJ Hawkinson's a good tight end. He's going to be the number one target in this offense. I'm not sure if he's that good of a tight end. And then once again, they just go out and get a whole bunch of running backs who kind of suck. Like, why are you adding Jamal Williams to DeAndre Swift and then drafting Jamar Jefferson? I like DeAndre Swift. Doesn't need to split carries with Jamal Williams. Defense, yeah, pretty bad. But they probably get the 6 wins. But I don't want to pay the minus 180. And, you know, I don't like Dan Campbell as much as you do. To me, he's, from a 10,000-foot view, he's way too similar to Matt Patricia, right? Like, comes in, pulls this big tough guy act in every media appearance. How did that work for Patricia? Not very well. Anthony Lynn at OC, I like that a lot. Then, you know, he can probably get Jared Goff to be okay, at least bounce back to something of what he was in that Super Bowl campaign. But yeah, offense, too many weaknesses, especially wide receiver, and they didn't really do much on defense. I don't like the Lions, but I think they get the 6 wins, and that's enough for me to pass on any futures bet for them.
Yeah, just as far as the whole Dan Campbell thing, like, he played tight end for years, and he's a monster. Like, he probably is, like, a legitimately tough dude, whereas Matt Patricia is, like, a stubby little nerd. I mean, I don't know. He played D3 football, I think. I'm not trying to really take a shot at him. Just saying, like, Dan Campbell, I do believe Dan Campbell is going to get the respect of the team. He's played for numerous teams. He's been in the league forever. Players reportedly like him. You actually made a good point about TJ Hockenson. I'm looking at one book right now who does not sponsor us, so we won't shout them out. That has TJ Hockenson's regular receiving yards prop at 775.5 with the over juiced, more so than the under, not too heavy though. I like TJ Hockenson to go over. Again, Dan Campbell's a former tight end. TJ Hockenson, I think, is a first round tight end. He looks great in camp, reportedly is getting by far the most targets. Their wide receivers suck. They have a pretty good offensive line, so I think they're going to be able to keep him out, right? But it's not like Jared Goff is throwing towards the sidelines a lot. I think he's going to be hitting TJ Hockenson a lot. And TJ Hockenson, you know, has a legitimate chance to be the 4th best tight end. Obviously, the top 3 are, you know, pretty much set in stone with Waller, Kittle, and Kelsey. So I actually kind of like the over, but I ran into it a little late. I guess I gave a little pitch, so think about it, but not going to go to the window with me. Spent too much time talking about the Lions, I think. Let's go to the Bears, unless you want to wrap it up.
No, that's way too much Lions.
All right, cool. Bears, plus 5,000 to win the Super Bowl, plus 2,000 to win the NFC. Do you have the division?
Yes. One second. The Bears are plus 425 to win the division.
Thank you. To make the playoffs, plus 210 is the yes. No is minus 260. The win total is 7.5. The juice is on the under at minus 120. The over is even money, plus 100. This is definitely a team I'm going to be fading. I kind of like Matt Nagy. Just based on, like, I think Mitchell Trubisky. I think that Mitchell Trubisky draft pick was the worst draft selection in NFL history. I actually said it at the time. So my brother is a huge Virginia Tech fan. This is random. My brother's a huge Virginia Tech fan. Plays in the ACC with North Carolina, Mitch Trubisky's alma mater. And he was playing in that conference the same year as Deshaun Watson. I was high on Deshaun Watson. Mitchell Trubisky, I thought, was terrible. And somehow Mitchell Trubisky went ahead of Deshaun Watson. He went ahead of Patrick Mahomes. I actually believe it was probably given their options, given the fact that they knew they had to go quarterback and those two other guys were on the board, clearly better than Mitch Trubisky. I can't believe they made that draft pick. And yeah, Matt Nagy's made the playoffs 2 out of the 3 years that he's been there, right? I mean, it's kind of crazy. But Andy Dalton obviously is bad. I think this is, what, his third team, right? His third team in 3 seasons. Bengals parted ways for Burrow. Cowboys took a flyer on him last year and had to play him for a little bit before he got injured after Dak Prescott went down. And he's behind a terrible offensive line this year. offensive line that didn't grade out well according to Football Outsiders, and is the second cheapest offensive line in the league. So, and there's talk that Justin Fields really doesn't look that good in camp, despite his preseason performance that was pretty good against a bad offensive line, with weapons outside of Allen Robinson that really just aren't that good. An offense that has shown regression year over year. Granted, it was with Mitch Trubisky under center. This is a team that I'm looking to fade. I'm not high in their defense either. They do play in a pretty good division. The next two teams I do like a lot. It's tough to build a Bears argument, you know, but they did make the playoffs last year. I don't know how they do it though. What are you thinking?
Yeah. You make a good point about Matt Nagy and doing better than expected with Mitch Trubisky. Just worry that they take too long to turn to Justin Fields, and Andy Dalton just doesn't have anything left. He didn't look good with the Cowboys last year, and that was with one of the strongest receiving corps in the NFL. Allen Robinson's great. Darnell Mooney's not bad, but it thins out immediately after that. Dave Montgomery's fine. Damian Williams just had a year off of football. You probably get Cole Kmet to replace Jimmy Graham's production from last year. You know, defenses, they keep losing pieces.
Essen, you can replace Jimmy Graham's production from last year.
Yeah. Okay, sure. yeah, I don't see a Bears bet I want to make. No.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't give them a lot of chance to make the playoff. I actually give them really no chance to win the NFC or make the Super Bowl, and very, very little chance to make another playoff appearance. But I am going to bring them to the window here on the under 7.5. I'll talk a little bit about more in a few minutes. But let's get over to the better teams here in the division. Start with the Minnesota Vikings, which are plus 4,000 to win the Super Bowl, plus 2,000 to win the NFC. If you have the division on you, that would be wonderful.
Vikings plus 230 to win the NFC North.
Great. Their win to, or their playoffs is yes, plus 115, no, minus 140. The win total is minus 8.5, minus 160 on the over. The under is plus 130. This is all right. So, kind of get back to Narrativeville. We'll take a turn, get off this exit, Narrativeville here for a second. This is kind of the point. This could be not controversial. This is a topic no one really likes to talk about, especially me. But I have to. It's just an example of the crazy shit that's being said in the market. So, everyone knows about the Kirk Cousins COVID stance, right? And it's kind of being priced in, or it's being factored into a lot of people's handicaps. A lot of people, even sharp people that I hear, right? It's just like, well, he doesn't have the vaccine, and he's saying that stupid plexiglass shit. And it seems like there's, for whatever reason, people are like making up stuff like it could affect the locker room, which I think is conjecture. I don't think anyone knows for sure, right? But what I mean by just like people using bias and to move lines and to move markets and to shift prices, what's the difference really when you get down to what's the difference between Kirk Cousins' stance on the whole vaccine thing and Lamar Jackson, right? So Kirk Cousins was around a top 10 quarterback last year. He has weapons. I mean, the whole COVID stuff, vaccinated or not, it's just a toss-up. It is. I can't figure it out. So it's just, I think the Vikings are getting a little value because of how poor their defense looked last year and just some of the Kirk Cousins, anti-Kirk Cousins stuff. I don't like Kirk Cousins that much as a starting quarterback, but again, it was just like an anecdote and thought that I had in my head about just like biases coming into the market. But Vikings were 7-9 last year, so despite their terribleness, they almost got to 500. They showed glimpses of they showed some fight, and they had a chance to make the playoffs where they fell off at the end of the year. I like the Vikings this year. They're definitely coming to the window with me. What are you thinking about the Vikings?
Hate how much we're agreeing this episode, but you nailed it. The only difference between Kirk Cousins and Lamar Jackson's take is Kirk Cousins said something stupid, right? Like, their stance on the vaccine is the same, but Kirk Cousins is the one who went out and said that stupid telephone booth thing, right? Like,
you trying to make a
what
joke.
A moron. Yeah. What a moron. But like, everyone's taking that as now he's going to suddenly miss half the season and Kellen Mond's going to start 10 games, right? Like, he's not guaranteed to miss a game. Last year, nobody had a vaccine and there were, what, a handful of games that got postponed?
Yeah,
yeah, sure, games aren't going to be postponed this year, but there aren't going to be that many canceled and they're not all going to happen to the Vikings just because Kirk Cousins said something stupid. Right.
And you know who did miss a game last year because of COVID?
Right.
That'd be Lamar Jackson, actually.
Great point. And yeah, I like the Vikings. They were in it last year until Dalvin Cook got a little bit banged up. Right. So like, maybe Dalvin Cook stays healthy. And, you know, the receiving core is great. Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, tight end Irv Smith maybe bounces, takes a step up without Kyle Rudolph there. Congrats to the Giants on that signing, by the way. And, you know, defense probably won't be as bad as it was last year. So Patrick Peterson, a huge addition. So, yeah, I like the Vikings, regardless of Kirk Cousins saying stupid stuff. And you're absolutely right that has caused this line of shifting. I was like, there was a point where Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams weren't going to play. And prior to Kirk Cousins saying something stupid, the Vikings were everyone's pick to win the division and an NFC title front runner. Then everything changed in a week. Adams and Rodgers locked in and Cousins said something stupid. And now the Vikings are trash because Cousins isn't going to play more than five games.
Yeah.
He's not going to miss more than one probably.
Yeah, and it's like, well, it's going to rip apart the locker room. Like, do you know that? Like, if we can use the United States as a sample size, dude, like, it feels like there's a lot of opinions on this. I don't know. I don't want to talk about this any further, that side of it. I guess I'm more just like killing time just to give the Packers section here a little more conversation, but I'm going to talk about them a lot going to the window. So I'll save some of my final thoughts on the Minnesota Vikings when we get there and start wagering some money. But let's go over to the Green Bay Packers. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. All right, they're plus 1,200 to win the Super Bowl. I'm going to need you to find the division again for me, but the NFC, they're plus 550. Favorites to win the NFC North at?
Minus 160. There we go. Got our timing better.
Wow. Has that grown over the past few days?
I imagine it's just continuously fallen since everyone's back on them again.
I don't have it charted, so whatever. Packers to make the playoffs is minus 280. To miss the playoffs is plus 220. The over-under is 10.5 at plus 105. The under is minus 130. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers have handed me my ass the last 2 years fading them. My instinct is to fade them again and go with like the sharp side of the market or the sharp line movement, which has got the under at minus 130. I'm assuming they're looking at it the same way as I'm looking at it, where it's like literally Aaron Rodgers cannot play any better. I don't want to say literally. He probably cannot play any better. They go from the 21st toughest schedule to the third toughest schedule this season. Their offensive line went through a whole bunch of turnover. So I get it, you know. And the most interesting stat that I've picked up from the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers this offseason, I'm just reading these like Football Outsiders almanac previews and the Warren Sharp preview was that had to do with their like pressure rate. So they're plus 20 in sack differential, which is like a variance and regression metric, same as like the schedule, same as their 4-2 record and one score games. These are things that should change year over year, but they just retool the offensive line, plus 20 in sack differential. But here's a stat that's interesting. They were 6th in sack and sack rate, right? Sack percentage. And they were 27th in pressure percentage, right? So their sack differential is going to regress year over year, and there's just too many regression metrics suggesting that they would go under. What's keeping me away is, so I don't think 10.5, I don't know. I think they're going to win 11 games because, again, it would appear you have, like, angry Aaron Rodgers. The way he conducted himself this offseason was super annoying. I think it's going to hurt the locker room, or I think it could hurt the locker room, but that's conjecture on my part. And I thought he was washed last year, and he came through and lit everyone up, right? I mean, you know, I don't really know what he's angry about or what he was mad about this offseason. They had an awesome offensive line. He has a top 5 to 10 running back in the league. He has a top 2 or 3 wide receiver in the league, an improving defense. The coach looks like he's got his shit together, and he's just over it. He's butthurt that they picked Jordan Love. I don't know. I don't fully get it, but, you know, I think Diva Aaron Rodgers just, like, feasts off of this, and I could see him just lighting up the league again, so I'm not going to fade him. They're probably going to win the division. I wouldn't be shocked if the Vikings ran him down or gave him a fight, but it's just not a team I'm going to fade because it's cost me money the past few years.
Yeah, the motivation angle for Aaron Rodgers going into this year is he lost out on the Jeopardy hosting gig, so maybe he doesn't have that plan B anymore. He's got to double down and focus on football again. Yeah, I don't know. The argument, you're dead right. You can't bet against them after what we saw last year, and that probably translates into 11 wins. I wouldn't hate betting over 10.5. Not as scared of the market as you are, I suppose, especially because I don't like the Lions and probably don't like Chicago. The funny thing is, like, after all that, you know, drama that went on, how he hated the Jordan Love draft pick and they needed to get him receiving help, his sticking point was you got to bring back Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
Cool. Like, nice one, guy. Like, right.
But again, it's like a lot of this stuff is just like comfort level. Like, watch Randall Cobb have like 8 touchdowns. Like, whatever, dude.
Randall Cobb's going to be the guy that like keeps them on track and on the up and up here and gets to 11 win. Like, But yeah, I like Matt LaFleur. I think he's a big difference here. And the defense is fine. It looked good last year. The number one concern, without a doubt, is the offensive line. They were first last year in pass block win rate. They were first in team run block win rate. And the loss of Corey Linsley is a big factor there. Is that enough to detract from Aaron Rodgers, how well he played last year? And he probably doesn't need to be that good. Because Aaron Jones is great and can shoulder the load. And their number two running back, A.J. Dillon, is fantastic as well. A lot of people really like him in fantasy football anyway. Robert Tonyan had a breakout year. You're going to count on him to be your number two option next to Adams again. Alan Lazard probably plays more. Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I mean, he is what he is. You're going to get 3 to 5 real good games and then a bunch where he's a non-factor. Really don't get that Randall Cobb reacquisition. I would bet over 10.5 with your money. I don't know if I want to with mine.
Fair enough. Well, I'm not going to let you borrow any money, so I can't do that. That wraps up at least the previewing or the division preview portion of the part 3 of our 2021 NFL primer preview extravaganza this offseason. But I have a whole bunch of bets that I'm going to put on my bet slip here. And so I'm looking forward to our final segment, which we lovingly refer to as Go Into the Window.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Go Into the Window.
All right, Eston. I got 4 bets here that I'm willing to wager my cold hurt or my hard-earned money on. How about you? Do you have a long bet slip as well?
I got 2 I can lock in here. You go ahead then, rifle off your first 2, and I'll jump in.
Cool. I got the Vikings to make the playoffs at plus 115. The offense has superstars with Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, and Dalvin Cook. I love Dalvin Cook. And they ranked eighth in DVOA despite terrible offensive line play. They drafted an offensive tackle this offseason, this year's draft, and I think they're going to get a little bit better. But it is room to, it is reason for concern. You know, that could be a weakness, or the offensive line could be another weakness. But what isn't going to be a weakness again this year is their defense. Their defense is trending up. They had an off year last year due to injuries and incorporating new pieces in a pandemic shortened offseason. They've had the most draft capital over the past couple seasons, but last year was the worst year to have a lot of draft capital. Their defensive line was just in shambles last season. They get back Danielle Hunter, who they lost, I don't know, I think in the first week of the season last year. They get back Michael Pierce, who opted out last year, prior to the year. They added Dalvin Tomlinson, who graded really well on PFF, and brought back Sheldon Richardson. They also lost linebackers Anthony Barr for most of the season and Aaron Kendricks at the end of the season. And they added Patrick Peterson, who I think is going to fit in nicely. Obviously, he's a little over the hill, but he's going to fit in nicely in Mike Zimmer's offense. Mike Zimmer is a defensive whiz and a bit of a secondary whisperer. So having that leadership and that guy back there, I think is going to improve the defense. Also, they're going to get their home field edge back. I feel like that's kind of a more of like a hokey narrative, or what people consider like a hokey narrative. But I think it applies here, because from 2014 to 2019, the Vikings had the best home against the spread record and the fourth best home winning percentage. 2020, they went 3-5 overall at home, 2-6 against the spread. So that 2014 to 2019 sample size is it starts at 2014 because that's when they got Mike Zimmer. They had one of the biggest home field edges in the NFL, and having a passionate fan base, I think, is going to replenish that strength. So I like them to make the playoffs at plus 115, and I like the Cowboys to miss the playoffs at plus 115. Their strength was always their offensive line, but it's now weakness, and they're aging. They were banged up last year, and they really didn't put any more investment or in stock into it, so they're just relying and hoping they're going to be as dominant as usual to keep that offense on schedule and to like pace the game. I see the offensive line being another weakness again this season. They're probably going to score points because they need to. They're going to be in shootouts because their defense looks like it's going to suck again. And fading Dallas is just profitable. If you bet their under on their season win total since 2000, you would have gone 14-7 over that time. So won 2/3 of those bets. So it's just cash as usually. That's where I'm at. The first two bets, my bet slip. What do you got, Austin?
Yeah, I'm up to four bets. They're all in the NFC East here. We talked about the NFC North. Talked about the NFC North. There's not a whole lot that interests me. I think two teams are bad. One's better than expected, and the Packers are still the rightful favorites. So passing on anything there, I don't see a whole lot of value. NFC East, Philadelphia, fewer than seven wins. So six or fewer wins. Plus 125, crazy good value to me for a team, you know, needs to take a huge step forward on a lot of levels. To do that under a first year head coach seems like a tough ask for me. And then to get plus 125 on six or fewer wins while the no to making the playoffs is minus 370. I think that's an easy correlation play and a much better value. Dallas Cowboys on the other side of that, the value is on no to make the playoffs at plus 115, while nine or fewer wins is priced at minus 130. So, you know, just playing the value there, you can line up those two bets, especially in this division. I don't see a reason for the discrepancy in the prices of those.
Okay. The other two bets that I have my slip first, I got the Bears under 7.5 wins at minus 120. They're favored in four games, projected to win 7.5. So Vegas is disagreeing with itself. They have the toughest schedule by DVOA. They're 30th in net rest edge, 28th in prep time, 27th in rest time. They have the second cheapest offensive line and cornerback room in the NFL. Chicago plays the second toughest schedule of opposing offenses. They have a whole bunch of good wide receivers. And well, Vikings and Packers have great wide receivers. And either way, I mean, I believe defenses should be built from the secondary down. So they're going in the opposite direction, and I think it's going to lead to their defense regressing year over year. Plus, they have a really bad offensive line, like I just said, second cheapest in the NFL to protect Dalton and or a rookie. So I'm going Bears under 7.5. And I also think the Bears' popularity and Justin Fields' hype is provide a little too much value. Maybe there's a little bit of Matt Nagy's history of going over that's priced into that, but I'm going under on the 7.5. And the other one is under 8.5 wins for the Washington football team, which is -105. Again, they're favored in 4 games, but projected to win 8.5. Fitzpatrick's 27 games below 500. Already said this with 9 teams, and he's never led a team to the playoffs. He's had two winning seasons as a starter. There's going to be huge schedule regression. Washington's going from the easiest schedule in the NFC last season, according to Football Outsiders, to the second most difficult schedule in the NFC, according to Vegas win total. They're 30th in net rest edge, 32nd in prep time, 27th in rest time, and they have a negated bye week. It's negated because their opponent that week is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are also coming in off a bye. Not an easy schedule, Washington. I'm liking the under 8.5, -105. What else do you got, buddy?
On one spot, we're going to disagree this episode. I'm going to take Washington football team +240 to win the division. You know what? Credit to Ryan Fitzpatrick and his agent. You keep harking on how he's sub 500 for his career. You know what? He joined the only division where he can win with a sub 500 record. That's just smart agenting to me. I think he's good enough to win the NFC least. And then I will agree with you full-heartedly. The New York Giants +140 to win that as well. Make both bets.
+400
on top. +400, yeah. Yep. Make both bets. Come out on top as long as one of them wins, because you and I are both in agreement again. We don't see either Dallas or Philadelphia pulling it off.
Yeah, to go to your point about the Washington football team, there is a world where they do exceed expectations and perform pretty well. And I kind of have that in my little bet slip, you know, because if I'm wrong about the football team's win total, I think that means they're going to make the playoffs, and that would help me cash the Cowboys and miss the playoffs. So it's like a bit of a hedge there. And I'm with you. I could be wrong on that, because I really do like the talent on that team, and I like Ron Rivera. So good stuff here. Next week, we'll be finishing up our division preview schedule here on the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We're going to have the NFC South and the NFC West to review. And then the following week will be our Super Bowl predictions and individual awards. And then we're going to have football. I can't wait. Good luck in the preseason if you guys are betting on all that. Be sure to check us out, all of our handicaps for all major sports, at sportsbookwire.usatoday.com. Do you got anything else to say to the listeners, Eston?
No, check out our preseason game coverage. You know, money to be made, regardless of how the games don't matter. You know, only advice on betting these games: look at which position groups teams are likely to be focusing on, right? Like, you got to hedge against quarterback battles, because teams aren't going to be trying to make a fourth quarter comeback. If they get a lead, they're going to take a look at their running backs. So you need to look at teams where, hey, their first or second quarterback option of the day could get some good playing time and it's better than the opponent. And then look at which running back group could carry it out. It's tough, but, you know, lock in whatever your strategy may be and ride that out as best you can.
Also, I've had a few listeners like get in my DMs and ask a little bit more about the podcast and if we're going to be ramping up our football coverage and just some details on the podcast. So to any new listeners that we have out there, please do us a favor and and share this podcast with your friends, especially ones that are interested in football. Obviously, it's going to be all football or mostly football when the regular season starts. And do us a favor, subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Check out all of the handicaps again at sportsbookwire.com. Thanks to our sponsor. For Essen and Jeff, thanks for streaming the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We out of here. Peace.
You've been listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast with Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
Listen and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.